You ready?
I'm like fucking...
Welcome.
I'm
just kidding.
Sure.
Welcome to Gag Me With The Chainsaw, a horror podcast about 80s slashers. I'm Corey.
And I'm Sarah.
And we love scary movies.
Merry Christmas, Cor.
Merry Christmas.
We've been having a Christmassy fucking day.
All day Christmas. I know.
We've been Christmas decorating my house. Because I can't get up on a ladder. It's too scary for me. And also, if I sit on my step stool, how far would that get us anyway? We still wouldn't reach where we're going.
Yeah.
I needed tall people here. The other day I was at Target, and I couldn't reach something. And I had to just wait until somebody tall enough came along to help me. That's the life I live.
Yeah.
Yep. If I'm not with Jason, needs somebody to help me.
Well, glad to be of service. Yeah. We built some beautiful garlands.
Yeah. I really appreciate it. And they are fucking beautiful. Like, I am so impressed. We should post pictures.
Yes, we should actually do it this time.
Okay. What did we not post pictures of?
Remember that one episode where we're like, we're going to post pictures of 10 things. One was young Richard Gere. One was Smurf Cat.
You did put Richard Gere on the Instagram stories?
Did I? I hope I did, but I don't think I did.
I hope you did too. No, Smurf Cat, you're right. There was a question as to his origin, but I think we worked it out.
Yeah.
He's Finnish and not Mexican as we.
Okay, well, but yeah, we got to post pictures of the garlands.
Of my garlands. They're mine legally, but you do have some ownership in them of our garlands. They are fucking beautiful. I don't want to talk about them too much, but I'm really excited. And I'm thinking about like the view coming in through my front door right now. I'm like, yes, right?
Yeah, they look great.
I feel like people are going to be really impressed all season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to open my door wider for the UPS guy. I can't even open my door wide. There's too many dogs right inside. And that's like one number one thing they're supposed to be working on from dog training. Their homework is not rushing the door. And you guys are all doing your part. Everybody comes and people I don't even remember telling come right in and say, I'm not paying attention to you. Ignore. Because they're not supposed to rush the door. Everybody's supposed to ignore them. And they're not doing their part to learn to not rush the door. That's my fault, though.
They better make that their New Year's resolution.
I know, because she is not going to be here until after New Year's. And that was why we were like, oh, fuck, we didn't do any of our homework. Like, we got to do our homework before Mitch comes back. I feel like I got duped with this lady because she was a lady dog trainer who goes by Mitch. And I was like, yes, lesbian dog trainer. Get her in here. Right.
Yeah.
She's going to kick some little asses. That's what we need.
Yeah.
I was just like so into it. And then she came and I was like, OK, yeah, totally. And then she was like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend loves that kind of stuff. And I was like, ah, damn it. She talks about her boyfriend too much. And he likes sour candy. And I'm like, ah, no. So, but close enough. If I go, yeah, okay, then close enough. She's young. She's probably queer.
Yeah. Let's assume.
Yeah. It's easier that way. But, yeah, I'm just like, the parent that every teacher complains about, probably, who like has stuff they're supposed to be doing and then doesn't do it and just expects you guys to fix it. Sorry. This is why I don't have human children and never will. Because sometimes I'm like, could you imagine if we had to send somebody to college? Right. And like just the sheer work involved to get a human person to college. No way. And paying for it. No. I'm taking college 2 classes at a time because it's expensive and it took me forever. So,
yeah,
I couldn't do it for somebody else. But anyways, we did Christmas stuff all day. We were listening to Christmas music.
Yeah.
While we were listening to it. And we were talking about this the other day about people, not people, men bitching out and not being able to just roll with the inherent horniness of Santa Baby, right? Like, the entire conceit is what? You'll fuck Santa for some presents.
Uh-huh.
And what do they do, Cor?
They change it to, like, Santa Buddy. Come on. No.
Platonic? You want to sing this song about your platonic relationship with Santa Claus? We all have a baseline platonic relationship with Santa Claus. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm. Just go for it or don't.
Yeah. You're up there on Santa's lap. What are you doing next? Right?
Yeah, and it was right there. Instead of Santa Buddy, just say Santa Lady. Maybe you're talking about Mrs. Claus.
Santa Lady! Michael Bublé?
Yeah.
He's like, I am so straight that I don't even think of Santa that way. But Santa Lady. What does he say? Put a cufflink under the tree for me. Right?
Yeah.
That's what he wants, probably.
I bet you if anybody wants cufflinks, Michael Bublé wants them.
Yeah, man. Just go for it. Boo. But, you know, I really like the idea of Santa Lady. Let's write a whole song.
Okay.
Right?
Right now?
Well, no. It took me a long time to come up with cufflinks.
Maybe if we weren't decorating for hours already.
I know.
We'd do it right now.
But. We should have been doing it while we were decorating.
Or maybe people can call in and give us parody song lyric suggestions.
We're going to do this under whatever law it is that Weird Al uses.
So the Weird Al law.
Yeah. So we don't have to pay... I don't know who the original owner of Santa Baby is.
I don't know. I like the Eartha Kitt version. That's like the oldest one I know.
She owns this.
I like the Badonna version too.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
It's like Fever. I like when people sing it. It's got the same vibe, kind of. I don't know. But it was fun listening to Christmas music anyways. I was going to call it Santa music, but some of it's not about Santa.
Some of it's not. A lot of it is.
A lot of it is. A lot of it is about... little baby Jesus.
Yeah. Or then there's some songs that when you really listen to them, you're like, you know what? They don't even mention Christmas. It's just kind of wintry.
Uh-huh.
Or
they just say Christmas, like, but it's not about Christmas, really. Mm-hmm. It's just to set up the season, to situate you in a time and place for a story.
Yeah.
But make it about presents.
Yeah. It all works for me.
Yeah. I like them all, too. They're fun. I was just like thinking, like, you're right. There are like the ones that aren't about that.
Like Dashing Through the Snow. I don't think that mentions Christmas at all. Wait, Jingle Bells? Isn't that the name? Jingle Bells, Dashing Through the Snow. And One Horse
Open Sleigh. Yeah.
The field we go.
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Gosh, you don't say Jingle Bells for a really long time in that song. I was like waiting to get to the chorus. Yeah. Yeah. It's not about Christmas. It's about the time.
Going out for
a
winter sleigh ride.
Jog.
If you're a horse. If you're a horse, yeah.
I don't know why jog is what came out. It's like, giddy up, jingle horse. Pick up your feet. So bossy. These songs are also bossy to horses. Yeah. I feel bad for horses all the time because, like, even in Planet of the Apes, they're still being subjugated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no world where horses are on top. Like, world domination is a thumbs game and horses are just out of it.
Well, maybe you should make Planet of the Horse. And it has, like, men with the harness in their mouth. And...
You make it, you pervert. Where's the tail?
You know.
I do know. I'm picturing this horse. I've seen him on the internet before. Is that what those movies are about? A world where horses are in charge? Because they make those, if that's what the men look like.
No, they're using them strictly for transportation.
Oh.
And they're playing Jingle Bells.
Well, it wouldn't take much. You could just cut in some horses doing man stuff. And then you got a whole movie, right?
Yeah.
Well, you would have to. I'm sure there's already ones out there of these horsemen being ridden around. Right?
Yeah. I think so.
Through the snow. Through whatever. The one that Judy Garland sings, well, that is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, though. That one is explicitly about Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
But it's about sadness, mm-hmm. which is another genre. Christmas sadness. I like that one, too.
Christmas sadness, Christmas longing.
Yeah, which falls under kind of romantic Christmas.
Yeah.
But there's, like, Venn diagrams. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because some of that is platonic longing, like, for your family.
Yeah.
Like that one. I like that one.
Or for snow.
Or for the platonic longing for snow.
Or romantic longing for snow.
Yeah. That's what Frosty the Snowman is about.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's implied.
There's a wedding in there. Oh, I think it was the preacher?
Yeah.
Okay. He's not involved in.
The preacher comes along and says, "We'll say, are you married? You'll say no, man." Right?
Mm-hmm.
"You can do the job when you're in town." That's Frosty the Snowman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They're all old-timey. That's okay. They don't make a lot of songs about like New Christmas, I guess.
I feel like there's a lot, but it's just, is it going to stick? Probably not, unless it's Kelly Clarkson Underneath the Tree or something.
That's true. Like, Mariah Carey came out with hers, and there hasn't been, like, well, I guess probably if you ask the country's moms, the nation's moms, mm-hmm. that there is a Michael Bublé Christmas album that probably is, but like, he does, very iconic.
He does standards mostly. He doesn't do a lot of new.
She came out with a new Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we've been good ever since then, really. I can't think of one that's gotten, like, hugely popular. Jingle Bell Rock had a resurgence after Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Who else? Mariah. No one else.
Kelly Clarkson, you don't like that song?
I don't know that one. So that tells me.
It played earlier, and I like this song.
I didn't recognize it, though.
Oh, okay.
So that tells me that we are not there yet.
Oh, well.
Because I think you know a lot of Christmas songs, a lot more new Christmas songs.
Hmm, maybe.
Than I do.
I do have a good playlist.
I know. You sent it to me, and I thought the title was really cute.
What was it? It was something basic.
All
the Xmas.
Oh, I thought it was an X-Files joke.
No.
Oh. I don't know why I thought that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I've never even seen X-Files.
Doesn't mean you couldn't make a joke about it.
I guess.
Ha ha ha. It made me laugh just now when you said, "I've never even seen X-Files." Well, I like X-Files. So, I don't know. I guess I thought I like them. They're hot. So, I guess. I don't know how I got there. I don't know. That's how it is for me, though, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you saw the X. That's what you think of.
I'm just filling in the blanks. Just filling in the blanks through life. That's all. Have you started watching Christmas movies? Like,
I've seen a couple Hallmark movies. Mm-hmm. I think that might be it. I tried to watch The Holdovers, but I haven't seen it yet, but I'll be watching that one
soon. That was the first one I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Did I talk about that on the show?
I don't think so.
Oh my God. It was the most chaotic screening I've ever been to in my whole life. It was all old people, and they were like, do something about it,
they're
basically.
Acting up.
They were all, at any point in the entire movie, and it's not a short movie.
No.
You could look up, and somebody would be standing around. Literally, from the start of the movie until it was all over, at least one person all times walking around. And I was like, get your steps in, girl.
I guess.
And you know, old men love to stand super close to the television. They do it at the movies, too. Like, this man was literally just walking back and forth in front of the screen. right in front of the screen. You would just see his fucking profile go by, his silhouette back and forth. Jason was getting irritated, but I was like, this is the fucking funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, this movie, delightful. I'm having a wonderful time. But all this, what are they doing?
Did you say someone was watching YouTube?
Yes. Oh, my God. And there was Christmas music and there was Christmas songs. Speaking of Christmas songs in the holdovers, somebody started singing along to the Christmas songs. And I was like, since when? Since when are the movies interactive? Nobody's asking you to do this. It's crazy. A helicopter came on screen. This man down at the other end of me, just to my right, went, helicopter. And a lady down at the other end of our aisle tried to trip Jason when he came in because he was late. I guess because he was late. They were wilding out. It was nuts. One man had to have an usher bring him back no less than 3 times.
I can't believe they would act that way when Santa Claus is literally on his way to town.
He's right around the corner. He's punching in all the fucking diagnostics into his GPS, right? As we speak. Mm-hmm. I would imagine it takes a long time. People move.
Yeah.
The Holdovers was the first Christmas movie I watched of this season, and I didn't even realize until we were like on the way home, and I was like, oh my God, Christmas movie, love it. It was great. Watch it.
I watched The Holidays. No, Home for the Holidays, but that was a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's just the Hallmark movie so far.
I watched Elf the other day. I start with Elf a lot because I'm not super invested. I like it, but it came out, I was already fully an adult, so like it's almost a little too late to make a new Christmas movie. Unless it's a TCM Christmas movie. But I like Elf. I like it. I almost call it Elephant. I like Elf. Yeah. But I can like do other stuff while I'm watching it.
Yes.
But
that is a good background.
Great movie. Background movie. I cry at the end though when everybody gets Christmas spirit every single time. Even if I have not watched it all the way through or whatever, I cry.
Yeah.
Makes me feel good. And I watched... I tried to watch White Christmas, but I was too busy. That one I do have to watch, kind of, because I love that one. I was too busy doing decorating stuff, and so wasn't able to watch it. Had to turn it off. But I always get to that one within the first, like, 2 or 3. And then I always save It's a Wonderful Life for last. Sometimes I push it too far, and I'm like, fuck, it's Christmas. I got to watch it today because I can't watch it on the 26th. I'm done. I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Got to go a whole other year. But I like to just, I'm edging on It's a Wonderful Life all season. Can't do it. Can't be anything else after that. That's it. And I watch this. I watch our movie for this episode.
Oh, yes. I watched this movie as well.
So there's that one too. Our movie this week is Christmas Evil from 1980. Yeah. It started and I went, 1979? This isn't even a movie. And then I went to IMDb real quick and I was like, oh, okay, it is.
It's not even a movie.
Well, not for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen this movie a bunch of times. I would have watched it this year anyways.
Yeah. I watch it every few years. I like it a lot.
I've watched it like 3 times last year or the year before. It just kept being on.
Oh.
And every time I was like, yeah, I'll watch this because it's... As you'll hear, it's, I think, a pretty great movie. I know we usually wait till the end to say that, but...
I know. Spoiler.
You'll find out almost immediately. That it's a pretty great movie. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, it's up there for one of my favorite Christmas horror movies for sure.
Speaking of, like, different vibes, this one, I think, has a different vibe, too, than your usual Christmas slasher.
Yes, definitely.
We will wait on that.
Yeah. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know, but I have to remember to come back to that because sometimes I'm like, but we'll talk about that later. And then I forget. Like our picture of Santa Cat. No, that's not his name. Smurf Cat.
Let's have AI make one.
Oh, he would just look like Santa Papa Smurf.
He would just look like Papa Smurf. But it's okay.
Yeah. Christmas Evil, directed by Lewis Jackson. He was only involved in 3 other movies. He directed 2 and produced 1. And they all sound pretty horny. Mm. One of them is called The Transformation, A Sandwich of Nightmares. And I thought, okay, so they were like, no, this is a disturbing title, I think. But it sounds like what I would think if a monkey made me a sandwich. Mm. But it's A Sandwich of Nightmares. So I'm like, well, maybe something else.
Hmm.
But I guess it's like a horny movie sandwiched in between like the making of the movie.
What?
And I'm like, well, I love this for this movie. They're like a legend in their own mind. They're like, people are gonna want the making of packaged with this, so we should just do it this way.
Okay.
Yeah, The Interested. Transformation, A Sandwich of Nightmares. I don't know what that means. I probably won't find out. I have a lot of other things to watch, and I'm like 700 books behind on my to be read list. So. Sandwich of Nightmares, I'll try and fit you in, but Christmas Evil stars Brandon Maggart. You think that's how that's pronounced?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brandon Maggart as Harry Stadling. And he's come up on our show several times before, most notably as Fiona Apple's dad. We love that.
Yeah.
He's old as fuck, dude. He was born in the 30s.
Wow.
That's more than 20 years older than my parents.
Yeah.
So I was like, dang, because my dad's old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess not really. But, you know, they're solidly senior citizens mm-hmm. now. So he's like pretty old. I was like, I said, damn, Fiona Apple's got an old dad. We saw him already. He was in Dressed to Kill.
Yes.
As a John, mm-hmm. Sam from Cleveland.
I remember that.
I had to really think about it. But then I was like, oh, boom, it clicked right into place.
Yeah.
Because we talked about, oh, this is Fiona Apple's dad. Mm-hmm. He did a few movies, lots of TV, and he did 30 episodes of Sesame Street.
Oh.
George the Mailman.
He did Broadway stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a well-rounded thespian. also, Jeffrey DeMunn as Phil Stadling.
He's in a ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's come up on the show before, too. He was in The Hitcher.
Yes.
I believe we referred to his giant nostrils as a two-car garage. This podcast is really funny. He's a favorite of writer-director Frank Darabont's, and beside his run is Dale in The Walking Dead. He's been in The Mist. He was in The Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile, and The Majestic. So tons of stuff.
Yeah. Right away, I was like, that guy.
Yeah. He's kind of hot.
Okay.
You don't think so? What about when he's doing push-ups?
He has a little bit of hotness to him.
Yeah. See? Supposedly, Christmas Evil is the film debut of Patricia Richardson, the mom from
Home Improvement. Yeah.
But did you clock her?
Yeah. Well, the second time I watched it after I had read that, I noticed
but
her. Yeah.
Not before.
Mm-mm.
I don't think that counts.
She's Moss's mom.
Mm-hmm. If I have to wonder if IMDb made a mistake, then were you really in the movie?
I think it's her.
I went to her IMDb to do some further research, and I was cracking up because it said whiskey voiced Patricia Richardson, and I was like, okay, you have to have somebody else write these, you can't do it yourself. Either I feel like I have a piece of that fucking rope tickling my nose.
That's what you get for talking about people's nostrils. Oh.
But I said he was hot. Rolling away. I said that wasn't supposed to happen to me.
He could park in my two-car garage.
What does that mean? Side-by-side parking or stacked?
However you like it.
I'm just going to edit it to where it's you just saying that about yourself.
No.
Yes.
Don't do it.
I forget what I was saying. You want to talk about the movie at all, or you want to get into it?
Yeah. So I did listen to the director's commentary, and Lewis Jackson, he's really serious about this movie. He had the idea for a long time. It's totally independent, privately funded. It took him a long time to get the funding, about 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And
it like really predates Halloween too. Like people kind of think that it's like like post slasher, like post Halloween, but it was before.
No. Well, the release?
No, like the concept.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. And it's very different. Like, it doesn't follow the regular slasher tropes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, more of a character study.
Totally, like Maniac.
Yeah. And, he totally had this vision. He wrote and directed it. He storyboarded every scene.
That shows.
Yeah. And he had seen a film. I can't remember what it was. And he said, I want the guy who was a cinematographer on this film. Mm-hmm. I want him for my film. And his name is Ricardo Aronovich. I think he's Argentinian, but I think he lived in France. And he, you know, he had some big movies. And he got him. He said he would do it. It doubled the budget immediately because of all the sophisticated lighting he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty much teaching everyone else that was working, because everybody else was very inexperienced. Mm-hmm. But they, like, it was hard, but they, like, learned so much from it.
Wow.
Yeah. He, because the price went up, I mean, because the budget doubled, he had to kind of, like, I think he sold the rights to the film.
Oh.
So he lost his stock in it, and then it took him 25 years to get it back.
Wow. I guess that explains some things.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Where was the director's commentary?
I have a Blu-ray.
Oh, I was watching it on Shudder.
So it has three director's commentaries. I had listened to once before the one with John Waters, because John Waters is a big fan of this movie.
I want to watch that.
Yeah.
Can I borrow it?
Of course.
Okay, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want to watch that. Cool. I want that.
Yeah, and then there's another one where he's with somebody else. I don't even know who, but yeah, there's three commentaries. So I'll watch that one next year, maybe.
Cool. Anything else, or are you going to save it?
I'm going to save the rest.
Okay. I'm looking forward to hearing it. That was some good stuff. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been good or bad this year?
I've been good.
You have been good.
I think so.
Good for you. I've been medium.
Yeah?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm just being realistic.
I don't think you did anything bad.
That I told you about.
That's true. Jason might come in here and tell me a couple things.
He already did today. I'm not going to say them, but jeez. Sometimes I'm like, don't just try and impress your friends. Score ones off of me. You're going to get a laugh now, but you're going to be sad about it later. Yeah.
Ugh. You'll get him back next time he's on the show.
It's like with any group chat, there's a side chat, and you and Jason are in a side chat, like, oh my God, she's being so annoying today. And then back in the group chat, like, oh, ha ha, Sarah. Just being normal, but I don't even know it, but that's what's happening. And he's going to text you all my secrets about the bad stuff.
He has a side chat with Santa Claus.
No! He's my elf on a shelf. Ugh. That's what I get for disparaging the elf on the shelf earlier today. I was really railing against him.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that people we know keep getting themselves caught in this scheme, this scam. Yeah. Talk about a breakthrough Christmas innovation. Mm-hmm. Fucking elf on the shelf. That didn't used to be a thing.
No, it's totally made up.
My parents were like, I'm never going to do that. My mom did do leprechauns, though, every year. But elf, that's just one day. Elf on a shelf is like every day.
Yeah, I don't like it. I would rather do advent calendar.
Oh, totally. A little prize?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's way better than, like, the possibility of punishment, the probability of present, but much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Are you doing an advent calendar this year?
No.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
I have to do one. It's a lot of pressure now.
No, I almost bought a chocolate one, but... The vegan chocolate one that I found, it's like, I know all the chocolates are the same. That's not that fun.
Yeah, that's true. It has to be, like, exciting.
They're just all plain dark chocolate. I'm like, no.
Yeah, boring. I hate when it's like, oh, different cacao densities or dark.
Actually, I wouldn't like mind that.
I'm just like, yeah, it's dark chocolate. It just all is dark chocolate to me.
Yeah, you can't have 25 different versions of that, though.
Ooh, but that one was a 70.
And this one was a 71.
Whoa. Such a huge difference. I'm so glad that I waited 24 hours to eat this other little piece of candy.
Yeah.
I had one last year from Foggy London Town.
An advent calendar? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
My chocolate one.
That was cool.
But I was like, fuck, they love hazelnut over there. Damn. I was like, that would be one or two in one of our advent calendars. Yeah. And it was like every other one over there. I was like, no, another hazelnut one. It was good. I'd always wanted to try chocolate from across the pond.
Mm-hmm.
They put more sugar in theirs. Is that right? Something like that.
I feel like they everywhere else probably just use better chocolate. Like
probably. I can't eat grocery store chocolate anymore. It tastes terrible to me.
It does. It tastes like vomit.
Why are they using so much like oil now? It's so bad.
Yeah.
Cutting too many corners. It's like when we were talking about that McDonald's, Christmas McDonald's from 1980, where you're like, fuck, I bet that McDonald's was good. Like, that's terrible. Because, yeah, it was probably garbage then, too. But, like, at least it was, like, better. I can't even eat McDonald's anymore. It tastes awful. I used to fucking love McDonald's. And now we're only like, yeah, I'll eat there if you get a time machine. You go back 40 years. Then I'll have it and I'll love it. What a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of going back 40 years, let's go back to Christmas Evil. Our movie opens in suburban New Jersey on Christmas Eve, 1947. The Allies have just won the war. Santa Claus is in the White House.
Nice.
As the narrator reads us, 'twas the night before Christmas, two young boys named Harry and Phil Stadling, along with their mother, watch from the stairs as the big man himself, jolly old Saint Nick, comes down the chimney. From their hiding spot, they see everything. As Santa does the traditional buffing of the boots, does his traditional washing up in a lovely little silver finger bowl, eats his traditional snack of white bread with an unknown glob. I was so perplexed. Does the traditional dip of the mustache in the milk, and does his traditional stocking stuffing.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with most of those, but stocking stuffing? Weird.
That was like pretty unusual, I thought. I was like, since when? I didn't really get any insights either when they pull back and you see everything on the little table. I thought, oh, so that was cream cheese?
Yeah, it was no, very confusing.
It was a humongous bar of soap. So I don't know. Maybe he did put soap on the bread. I don't know. It was weird. I didn't know you were supposed to leave soap out for Santa, but I guess it makes sense if he came down the chimney.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Are you supposed to be doing that?
I don't know. But
that makes me feel like that it's some old timey thing that got lost like along the way that people were like, we're not doing that, or not enough people had chimneys.
Maybe because the director, he like really researched stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, dude. Because that sounds right. And actually like something that we should have been doing all along.
Yeah, you'd be really dirty.
Did you have a chimney?
No.
When you were a kid?
Mm-mm.
Did you ever say, how does Santa get in here?
Mm-hmm.
What did they tell you?
Magic.
Yeah. Weak, right? Because we had a wood stove, but I was like, Santa's going to get stuck in the wood stove. And they said, oh, no, he just turns into fairy dust and comes under the door. And I was like, I've seen Willy Wonka. That makes sense. You just mic TV your way on in here. Okay. Let's go. This Santa, though, he came down the chimney, mm-hmm. and then he needed to wash up afterwards with a block of cream cheese. When one of the boys giggles, Santa touches his finger to his nose and zips back on up the chimney. In their room, Phil is taking heat for saying Santa is daddy. Well, I guess maybe he just was like trying to be ahead of his time. And his brother got all confused and thought he meant that, like, Santa was their dad. And he was like, no, Santa's daddy. Which is something that is on the internet right this second, I bet. We just haven't seen the meme yet this year. Yeah, Phil's taking heat for that. Harry knows what the fuck he saw. I like this because I had, like, I think I talked about it last year or the year before. Like, when I was a kid, I swore I saw Santa's boot. Like that I opened my eyes and I saw Santa's boot. And like now when I think back, I'm like, that was obviously Dad's slipper.
Mm.
But you see what you want to see, right?
Yeah, just like in this scene, you see Santa go up the chimney.
Yeah, yeah, that's what
so
I mean.
It's like this is his memory of it. Yeah.
So I like that. This is one of the things about this movie where I'm like, this is different. Like it, you don't see that portrayed, I guess. Like that particular part of believing in the Santa myth is the like seeing what you want to see if you do see something, right? Because you don't want to admit that it's your parents. Harry is like in anyways. So he's too delighted by it. He gets out of bed, makes his way back downstairs. What he sees is also traditional, but the song about it hasn't come out yet. So he doesn't know. You know, of course, the song that goes, whoop dee doo, hickory dock. Don't forget to suck on my cock.
Wait, that's not the song. That's what is it? It's the holiday season.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about.
So whoop dee woo, right? And Santa Claus is on his way.
Okay.
Whoop dee doo, hickory dock. Don't forget to sit on my cock.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just hasn't come out yet. That's what's going on downstairs at Phil and Harry's house.
Okay.
From the same vantage point on the stairs, Harry watches as Santa kneels on the ground and unwraps Harry's mother's robe. And sorry to Harry, but his parents are scorching hot. Is it just me? They're hot, right? They're like, they have chemistry.
Yes.
You're like, they fuck. And she's like, I love this thing you did for the kids. Like, it makes me so hot for you. You're such an involved parent, right? Like, yeah, Harry's dad is still in his Santa suit and groping Harry's mom's thighs, getting his face right up on her figgy pudding while she giggles and coos. Like, literally, that's what she's doing. She's all, oh.
Yeah.
Traumatized, Harry rushes up to the attic and purposely cuts his hand with a shard of glass from a shattered snow globe. Blood drips onto the roof of the snowy little scene inside the now broken globe. And we're treated to the original title of the movie on a red background with a lovely Christmassy font, You Better Watch Out, which is a much better title.
I agree. And so did the director. That's what he wanted. And the distributor changed it without his input.
That's wild. Why would you think that this is better? And Christmas Evil is fine. But like, because
yeah,
that could be any
movie.
Yeah, You Better Watch Out. That's fucking great.
Yeah.
Way better. Mm-mm. Naughty list. When we were watching this, I kept going naughty, and then I was like, oh, it's not this. 33 years later, it's 55 days until Christmas. We meet up with Harry again, and boy, he is a Santa enthusiast now. He has taken it upon himself to become the next true Santa. At home, he sleeps in costume, and his apartment is resplendent with Christmas decor.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about this movie. I love looking at all the vintage stuff.
Oh, totally.
Christmas stuff in every
scene. Toys. Like, his apartment is full of weird toys, too. But yeah, there's, like, 1900s Santa Clauses everywhere, and, like, yeah, it's really cool.
And it's cool to, like, recognize stuff. There's some ornaments in the first scene that I'm like, I have those on my tree. And then, and then there's some candle, what are those called? Blow molds that Tikiko has.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun. He has a, like, Christmas carousel right next to the bed. And I was like, I would love to wake up to that Christmas carousel.
Yeah, so while the director was trying to get this movie made for 10 years, he was collecting stuff.
It shows, because it's a lot of stuff, man, to have to source all that just while you're making the movie. It would be a lot.
Yeah.
But not all is joyful and bright at Harry's house. He may start out having a great time when he's pretending to have a shaving cream Santa beard. He's so ho, 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 ho. But when he nicks himself with a razor, the sight of the blood sends him right back to that fateful Christmas Eve 33 years ago. He's like, no, the memory. We get to see a little bit more of Harry's parents here being fucking a sexy and in love and have a lot of chemistry. Harry has even adopted Santa's love of mass surveillance and spies on neighborhood children to see if they are being bad, bad girls and boys. During one of these fact-finding missions through binoculars, he sees fucking neighborhood badass Moss Garcia doing an expert job cutting out the centerfold in an issue of Penthouse. I was like, the scissor work on this kid. He got every corner. Mm-hmm. Very good. This drives Harry into a frenzy. He like slams his binoculars down, takes off running from the roof where he has been peeping on people, and grabs a giant book from his shelf titled Bad Girls and Boys 1980. Inside are pages and pages of handwritten lists of what he considers naughty behavior. Moss Garcia's list reads as such. Moss Garcia throws rocks at dogs. Fair. Jaywalks. Wrote graffiti, smokes cigarettes, litters the street, crosses against the light, uses profane language, picks his nose, pulled Sally's hair, uses profane language again. Oh, Moss gets up late every day, kicks over garbage cans, and now impure thoughts and negative body hygiene. Your Honor.
I think it's funny how they're all like present tense except for wrote graffiti. So he's like, he doesn't do that anymore. That's well, a one-time thing.
Cross it off. And profane language twice. So then he opens another book titled Good Boys and Girls and writes an entry about how little Susie is just darling because he saw her being nice to one of her dolls. So what? So what? Sorry that Moss Garcia gets more done before noon than fucking Susie gets done all day.
Yeah. So back in the real world, Harry works in a low-level management position at the Jolly Dreams toy factory, where his colleagues consider him a schmuck and make fun of him to his face. One day, Harry's coworker Frank bullies Harry into covering his shift on the assembly line that night in order to be with his family. However, on his way home from work, Harry sees Frank drinking with friends at a local bar and, like, making fun of him.
Yeah.
Distressed by the man's duplicity, Harry runs home and breaks one of his dollhouse figures while angrily humming Santa Claus is Coming to Town. He's like, That's a good performance.
Yeah, totally.
Soon after, Harry goes to stand around outside his brother Phil's house and watch the family through the windows. We see that Phil has a very loving relationship with his two sons and a lot of chemistry with his wife.
Sorry, but this scene is hot too. And it's like the same thing. He's playing with the kids and everybody's having a great time. And his wife comes in and she's like, you are such a good dad. And then they're just getting down on the couch.
Yeah, he had a good influence with his parents.
Yeah, he saw a model marriage.
Phil has been constantly angered by his brother's odd behavior, while Phil's wife Jackie is more sympathetic. The following day, Harry cancels Thanksgiving dinner with Phil and his family after going totally weird when he sees Santa closing out the Macy's parade.
Actually, totally understandable. Why wouldn't you get so excited?
Yeah. He begins to construct himself a Santa suit of the highest caliber. The wig needs work, though.
Yeah. But other than everything else, beautiful.
Yeah. He starts painting a sleigh onto the side of his van. Soon after, while returning from buying groceries, Harry encounters a group of neighborhood kids. They all seem happy to see him, with one kid asking what Harry wished for that day. Harry wished to be super magical. One of the kids said he wished he could be principal. Another says he wished to be a firefighter. But problem child Moss Garcia says he wishes for a lifetime subscription to Penthouse magazine. Harry is thoroughly cheesed by this.
Moss Garcia. Yeah.
It inspires him to go home and really reflect on what it means to be the all-seeing, all-judging eye of Santa. At the company Christmas party, the owner of Jolly Dreams, Mr. Wiseman, announces on TV that the company will donate toys to the children of the local hospital, provided production increases sufficiently and the employees contribute with their own money.
This is just like that scam when huge corporations ask if you want to round up to donate to charity.
Yeah.
And you like feel all bad. But like, oh yeah, I want to help give you a write-off Nordstrom rack. I'm always like, no, thank you. I'm buying irregular loafers.
Yeah, exactly. After Harry happens to catch a few minutes of local news footage on the horrible state of another or maybe the same local hospital, Mr. Fletcher, one of the company's high-ranking executives, introduces Harry to new training executive George Grosh, who devised the donation scheme. Harry is angry at both for not really caring about the children. After saying some cryptic shit, he leaves the party in a huff.
When he's right, though.
Yeah. That night, he fills some bags with toys he stole from the factory and other bags with dirt.
Sure.
On Christmas Eve, while gluing a Santa beard to his face, he enters a fugue state that has him convinced that he truly is Santa Claus. Garbed in his Santa suit, which looks fucking amazing. The whole thing really came together.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I like how he didn't play it safe. He took risks and it worked.
Big time.
Very old world Santa.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like a little skirt action, mm-hmm, a belted mm-hmm. skirt, and like that dark fur.
But you know what? If you really want to live the lifestyle, get fat.
Yeah.
And then I'll believe that you mean it.
That's true. He does use padding.
Yeah.
Harry starts doing his rounds on the van that he decorated with the sleigh picture and that he believes to have been trained by Santa's reindeer. He first sneaks into his brother's home and delivers toys for his nephews, then leaves a bag full of dirt at the doorstep of bad boy Moss Garcia.
Fucking got him, Moss Garcia. You're never coming back from this.
Later, Harry drops off toys at the hospital where he's greeted by a grumpy old security guard who doesn't have time for this shit. It seems like Harry may be thwarted, but this cantankerous old man is no match for Christmas spirit, and after Santa Harry gives him a gift, he leaves to get the staff, who are overjoyed to find Harry's entire van stuffed with beautifully wrapped presents. Three for three, Santa Harry, you're doing great.
You're doing great. But this movie is called Christmas Evil, and not Christmas Everything Goes Just Fine. After doing his good deeds, Harry must fulfill the other side of the Santa coin in some cultures and enact judgment upon the naughty. He goes to a church where his awful corporate overlords are yawning through midnight mass, with a solid metal tin soldier wielding a sharp sword that he fabricated himself in his disturbing home workshop. Before Santa Harry can approach them after the service, he's met on the sidewalk by four real 80s movie snobs who taunt him and even talk bad about his suit.
Yeah, they're so rude. They just came out of church, too.
Yeah. Jesus can still see you. Santa is watching. What are we doing?
Yeah.
The movie introduces these people like I'm supposed to know who they are, right? Is it just me? Every single time I was like, wait, did we meet them already?
No.
They're just randos, yeah. Right?
Just came out of the church.
Overwhelmed, he skewers one of the snobs through the eye with the toy soldier and the eyeball fully explodes. It's like gooey.
Yeah.
I love it. Then, while a vaguely psycho-ish score plays, Santa Harry brutally murders three of them in a fit of rage with a hatchet. He is splitting their wigs. He careens away in his van and leaves them all bleeding in the snow. Later, Harry is welcomed at a neighborhood Christmas party where people think he is just some harmless Santa impersonator. And he can be.
Yeah.
He dances with a lot of people's moms and like, see? Santa gets them wet. He cheers everyone up and makes sure the attending children know they will have to be good boys and girls to receive their gifts. And if they're bad, he'll bring them something horrible.
Like what?
Like a bag of dirt.
Oh no.
Hey, who put all this free dirt out here? They all toast him before he leaves to Santa Claus, the richest man in town. He drives to his dickhead coworker Frank's home and climbs up onto the roof intending to break in via chimney, but he took his padding a little too far apparently, because he finds himself hopelessly wedged in the chimney. As the wind blows all around him and flurries of snow whip around his face, he harnesses the awesome power of Christmas, maybe?
Yeah.
And shakily pulls himself up out of the death trap. He almost went out like Phoebe Cates' dad in Gremlins. Yeah. When he gets stuck in the chimney. Like, I don't know. I just expected that he would slip right down. Right? And then he gets stuck and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And he really is stuck for a second. And it seems like maybe he's going to be like snapped out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
No, he's too far gone.
He's too far gone. Because he's kind of like moping away, but all is not lost because he finds a basement window that allows him access to the house. After depositing toys into the tree for Frank's kids, he makes his way into the bedroom and surprises a sleeping Frank who just has time to register it's Harry before he's smothered with a sack of gifts. They struggle, but it's taking a long time for Frank to die and his wife is starting to wake up. So Santa Harry grabs a Christmas tree star off the bedside Christmas tree everyone always has and cuts Frank's throat. Gasping, Frank falls onto his wife, who is so stunned she can't scream. He speeds off in his van just as Frank's wife begins to shriek. I know this probably isn't the lesson I'm supposed to take from this, but a nightstand Christmas tree, that looked great.
I know. I'd like one.
Wouldn't you? I saw a video earlier today of somebody that had a Christmas tree, just a full-blown Christmas tree in their bedroom. And I was like, yeah, I would love to wake up to that.
A tree in every room.
It's a lot more work, though.
Yeah.
I have one of these little ceramic ones with the little bulbs. I might put that in my room.
Yeah.
That'd be cute. I am becoming my mom. I was always like, keep it to the living room. And now I'm like, well, maybe a little bit of holly in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Maybe just one full-size Christmas tree at the foot of my bed. It's not doing too much.
Yeah. So by Christmas morning, the story is all over the news with citizens being warned to stay away from any unfamiliar Santas. This seems funny. The news reporter is supposed to be a parody of Geraldo Rivera.
Oh, before he was like a nationwide celebrity. Yeah.
At Harry's brother Phil's house, the kids are watching a Laurel and Hardy Christmas movie when they are interrupted by one of these special bulletins. Phil overhears it, but he's also busy fighting with his wife about whether or not he should be mad at his missing dipshit brother. Then, the movie tries to introduce us to some cops, and it's like, movie, we don't need this.
No, it's okay.
It is funny to see them do group after group of Santa lineups, though.
Yeah.
It's a great shot.
Yeah. And there's one black Santa and he's like, you guys are pissed. What am I doing here?
Also, there is some conversation about Harry's beautiful bespoke Santa suit and how it really sets him apart from your average Santa.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it's none of these guys.
Yeah. This suit was much more bountiful and beautiful.
But back to our disheveled Santa Harry, who on his big morning returns to the Jolly Dreams toy factory and activates the assembly lines, breaking all the toys, which he considers subpar.
They were terrible.
Mm-hmm. He then makes a very disturbing phone call to his extremely worried family. He makes Phil cry.
He does.
Later, his van becomes stuck in the snow on a beautifully decorated street with plenty of lights, sending him further into a delusional state. It's awesome. There's like 100 blow molds or something.
Yeah, dude. It's very like Spielbergian.
Mm-hmm.
It's eerie.
Yeah. Pretty magical.
It brings you into like how like his state of mind, because you know he's seeing this and he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like this is all for me or whatever. But we're also seeing it and we're like, holy shit, that is pretty crazy. Right? Like
yeah
it's pretty neat.
As he walks down the street, he's accosted by a group of children. They're having a good time until the parents come along and recognize him as the murderer. But Harry has the power of greed on his side, and after he gives the kids gifts from a sack, they rally around him. One of the vigilante dads approaches Santa Harry with a switchblade, but he drops it in a scuffle with his wife, who tries to stop him, and his own daughter picks it up and gives it to Harry.
This dad is like if that little one from A Christmas Story, the little bully, was like a little bit taller. Right? He's got the little cap and everything.
He uses a switchblade to break free of the group of parents, sustaining a cut to the face from the point of a Christmas brooch. As he runs, we get an excellent montage of the formation of a literal torch-bearing mob. The director said he wanted this, like, much bigger, but they didn't have enough people. I was like, well, it's already kind of unrealistic. So.
It's great, though.
Yeah.
It's just, like, shot after shot of just disembodied hands knocking on doors and like I'm trying to figure out if you call them fists, and I guess you do.
I think he like, could rally that many people easily, but it's like, how do they get the torches?
Oh, they had them ready to go, like really
by
nice
the,
ones
by the door.
Yeah, they were like, we've been waiting for this guy to come along, let's get him.
Yeah.
Harry just barely gets ahead of the mob and manages to free his van from the snow. He drives to his brother's house, where Phil has already started to suspect something is seriously wrong with his brother and that he is the killer Santa from the news. Harry confronts Phil, accusing him to have been the root cause of his childhood trauma, as Phil was the one who revealed to Harry that the Santa they saw was actually their father. The idea that Harry has done all of this, ruined all of their lives, because of something he said when he was 6 years old makes Phil blow his fucking top. He grabs Harry, his huge nostrils are flaring. He grabs Harry by the neck and chokes him unconscious. Panicking under the glow of blinking Christmas lights and while his two sons watch from an upper floor window, Phil loads Harry into the front seat of his van. But Harry soon regains consciousness, punches Phil, and drives off again. This makes me laugh because Phil is just sitting there like so worried, just thinking and thinking, not even paying attention. And then boom, fist from off screen catches him right in the temple. Phil attempts to catch Harry on foot, but before he can catch up to the van, he falls down an embankment covered fully in that blanket snow and cardboard boxes. Yeah. The angry mob is still out, and they force Harry and his van off a bridge. While Phil looks overhead, the van is shown to be flying off toward the moon as a voiceover says, "What I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night." This scene of the van flying done with miniatures is really beautiful.
Yeah, I love the ending.
So do I. Do you think he flies away for real or he crashes?
I think he crashes.
He absolutely crashes.
That's what I thought. And then watching the commentary, that the director said that's his intention. But a lot of people take it as like, oh, no. It, like
he gets away. He is true Santa. No. To the point where after we watched it this for the first time this year, I said, you know, in my mind, there is another scene of the van crashed in the snow. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just...
He said he wanted the van to be on fire
in
the air, but they weren't able to do it. So that would have been a little more of a hint,
I guess. It looks good, though. I like it. I like the end, too.
Yeah.
Poor Phil. His family's all fucked up.
Yeah, you feel bad for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Even Harry.
Yeah, even Harry, because like we were saying, it is more of a character study. He's like... if Taxi Driver was Santa Claus. Right, he's like tired of the filth in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, yeah, it's fucking goofy that Susie gets in the good book because she was just nice to her doll, but like that's the kind of person that he is. Like, it's just, he's all about like toy integrity and like you know, so yeah.
Yeah, and the director is like I feel like he really had a vision. Like in the commentary, he's making references to everything from Hitchcock, Citizen Kane, German Expressionism, like is all inspirations for different scenes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, there definitely is like a Psycho moment in the score, like when they're out in front of the church. So I believe it.
Yeah.
You can tell it's a very different type of movie. Like we were saying, it's not like a regular Christmas slasher.
Yep. Makes it one of my faves.
Totally. I like that he is not gross, dirty, mangy Christmas Santa.
Yeah.
Like, he is a beautiful Santa, except for he's not fat. But, like, other than that, beautiful. He's not just, like, some fucking sicko freak, like, out there just for killing. When he does start killing, it's, like, for what he feels like are, like, honorable causes, not, like, for revenge or whatever, but because the world has gone so bad.
Yeah.
He's not, I mean, those snobs shouldn't have been making fun of him.
No, you don't feel that sorry for that guy. Mm-mm. I mean, he didn't deserve to die, but he could have taken a little poke.
Loose in the eye, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm so okay with that. I wonder though, like when he came to the church, was he looking for his boss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to get to them, and those bullies are just in his way. And finally he's like, enough, and just fucking snaps.
Yeah.
The atmosphere of this movie is like pretty unmatched. Soundtrack, a lot of weird shots. Like there's one point that always sticks out for me where somebody bumps a record player at a Christmas party. And it's just a real quick cut in scene.
Yeah, I like that.
And the record scratches and then it like goes back to some other stuff. And it just sets the whole mood and like the kind of the table of where Harry is and everything. Like as he's getting like increasingly more agitated. It's pretty interesting. It's much more creative than a lot of Christmas horror movies are, especially Christmas slashers that just kind of dress up a regular slasher as like a Christmas movie. So I do like that.
Yeah, he said, I guess it wasn't very well received for a long time and then it kind of became a cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he thinks one of the reasons is like kind of the changes in tone throughout.
Mm-hmm.
But he says like he doesn't regret doing that. Which I agree with.
I agree with it too. I like that there are obnoxious characters too. Like, it just makes it all, you get it. Mm-hmm. Like, you get what he's doing. Like, yeah, everything around him is shitty, mm-hmm. right? And juxtaposed with the Rockefeller Center tree, which is beautiful and wonderful. Like, get out there, Harry. Right?
Yeah, and they mostly filmed this in Jersey and some shots from Queens, too. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know.
I did read that he shot all the Thanksgiving Day stuff himself, the parade.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And did the voiceovers.
That's cool. That's
actors, yeah.
Yeah. This is a good one. It's got a lot of good, like, Christmas aesthetic, like, with all the old Santa stuff.
And like, every scene is, like, either something Christmas or red and green.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned the soundtrack, but, like, there's a lot of Christmas music, and there's a lot of good Christmas music. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite song. By Darlene Bells. Love. No. Oh.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Baby, please come out.
That's great. I know.
Yeah, I think there's like a James Brown song. Mm-hmm. A lot of interesting choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the atmosphere is pretty top notch.
Yep.
It's great. It's a very festive watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is like all of these pieces fit together and it makes a great movie. Like, that's what makes a great movie, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. really fucking insightful commentary here from me. That good story plus cool cinematography makes good movie. But yeah. Hello, that's what you listen to this podcast for. So. I just got out over my skis there. I didn't know where I was going. Speaking of winter activities.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would have watched this movie anyways this year. And I like Dial Code Santa Claus, but... Mm-hmm. I don't need to watch it every year. Like, I get irritated. Like, I'll just watch Home Alone. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this, yeah, I want to watch it every year. Is there another Christmas horror movie that you watch frequently?
Yeah, I really like Black Christmas.
Black Christmas, I watch that most years.
And then I feel like there's something else that I'm definitely forgetting right now. But
I watch Krampus kind of pretty often. I like that one a lot.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, not a ton of Christmas horror that I'm like, I got to get to this every year. But I would watch this one anyways.
Yeah.
I really like it a lot.
Yeah, John Waters, we already said, he's a big fan. He did the commentary and he said he used to play this at his Christmas party every year.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. I have to agree with him.
Yeah.
Us and John Waters, it's a quorum. And this makes me want to listen to Fiona Apple.
Okay. I love Fiona Apple.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, unlike when I got into Tori Amos like 8 months ago, it's not a cry for help from somebody who like thought they could be okay and didn't need their antidepressants anymore. Doing pretty well. Until one day I was sitting over at what we can only assume is a protected mosquito habitat / hatchery down the street from my house. Just sitting there listening to Tori Amos in the rain. But when I pulled in there was another lady already there with her head on the steering wheel. And while we were both sitting there, politely ignoring each other, a third lady by herself came in, a third middle-aged woman by herself, drove in, and we all just, I like, silently agreed to sit and stare straight ahead and, like, mind our own business.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure that it was Tori Amos all the way across. We synced up in that little piece of blacktop there. And yeah, Fiona Apple. I'm going to get into it.
She should do a Christmas song.
She should do a Christmas song. Wonder if Alanis Morissette has a Christmas song.
Seems like she would have had one on that. Remember those compilations they used to do? What is it called?
Now That's What I Call Christmas.
No, A Very Special Christmas. Okay. We had the Keith Haring artwork.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
We had the first one, and I think maybe like the third one. Loved those. Listened to them all the time.
Is Canada a big Christmas town?
What?
Well, you know, you think like, okay, yeah, United States, we do a lot of Christmas. In London, or the UK, Britain, whatever, it's very Christmassy there.
Uh-huh.
Is Canada a big Christmas? Big country? Christmas spot?
He's Christmas town.
That's okay. Is it a big Christmas town or what?
I think so.
Is it?
Yeah. I think they're
I don't
into
know
it.
Any like Canadian Christmas things.
They're probably just the same as like British ones.
Oh, probably, huh?
Yeah. In Montreal, it's probably very
French. I was thinking like maybe they would have, yeah, or like another character like Father Goose or something.
I don't know. I'll ask Izzy.
Ask her.
We should have called her.
Love her. Call in.
Yeah, Izzy, call in and tell us about Christmas, Canadian Christmas.
Canadian Christmas correspondence.
I know their Thanksgiving is a way different day.
Oh, yeah, totally, huh? I know. What is she doing while we're all eating stuffing? Just having a normal Thursday?
Yeah. Huh. They already had theirs.
Yeah, theirs is in like October or something,
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah.
Canadian pilgrims?
Pretty similar. Oh, I don't think so. But just, you know, being thankful.
I guess they would have their own the pilgrims.
Same foods, probably.
Yeah, probably. And butter tarts, which I do know is Canadian.
Okay.
They're delicious. Okay, well, let's see here. We have ratings. Okay. Video Hounds, 1.5 bones. And they don't know what the fuck they're talking about again. Once again, a knife-wielding lunatic dresses as Santa Claus to strike terror and death into the hearts of children. No, wrong. Do they even watch the movie?
I feel like we need to boycott them.
I don't want to do them anymore. I'm over it. All right, but here's this. Here's a big surprise. Malton.
Uh-huh.
3 stars.
Wow.
We never, first of all, it feels like we never get Lenny.
I know. We started out strong with him and then it's like, oh,
he never weighs in. 3 stars. I think that's pretty good. Gripping, well-made little thriller about a killer disguised as Santa Claus with Maggart excellent as the psychopathic Kris Kringle. A sleeper with cult status possibilities. He was right.
He was onto something there.
He sure was.
Nailed it this time, Lenny.
Yeah. Come on, Lenny. Well, I mean, I think possibility potential fulfilled.
Yeah.
For me, this one, 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not even going to quibble with it. If I'm like, I would watch it every year and I enjoy it so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's 10 out of 10.
I think for me, it's 8 out of 10, which is very high. That's higher than I rate almost most movies on here, right?
No.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's 8 out of 10. Why not a 10? I feel like it's sad. I don't know. Maybe it's too sad. Like, sometimes I don't feel like watching it because I'd rather watch something happier for Christmas or goofier.
Yeah.
Or, like, really dark.
Sure. Like, much more, like, campier.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's a weird complaint to have. But I don't know. It's just say it's an 8 for me.
What would you do different?
Nothing. I couldn't change his vision. He had such a strong vision. He storyboarded every scene. I did look at the storyboards because they're on the special features.
Yeah.
They're very cool looking. And there was a scene that was deleted that took place in an amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fun.
What was it?
I don't know.
Oh. I wonder what it was.
Yeah.
Santa just has to go and get a corn dog.
Yeah, he said he had some like little subplots that he took out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure what that scene was all about.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
Do you think John Waters knows?
No. Actually, when he did the commentary, he didn't sound like he knew a lot about the movie because he did it with the director.
Mm-hmm.
And they both didn't know a lot about Christmas horror.
But do you think he knows now?
Possibly.
Because he's such an enthusiast and he met the director?
Maybe.
Hmm.
John Waters, he wrote a whole essay about this and it was in his book, Crackpot.
Oh, I was like, is it in his Christmas book? Because I have it and I got it last year for Christmas and I never really looked at it.
Book?
Yes, let's look at it after we are done.
I might have to buy that.
Yeah, he has it. I got it for Christmas last year and then I just kind of really didn't. I looked through it a little bit, but I was like, it's over already.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I want to see that.
Like I unwrapped it Christmas afternoon and by then I'm like done. So yeah. Yeah. I got to get it out. Yeah.
So high marks from us.
Yeah. And John Waters.
Call in and tell us your favorite holiday horror or Christmas horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And any other holiday
movie.
I know
I'm thinking of some. Like, oh, The Leech, like a recent one.
Yeah.
We've talked about that one, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I'm forgetting some. I don't know why I didn't prepare.
I'm not going to watch Silent Night, Deadly Night every year.
No.
That one makes me sad. Remember? I was so upset.
Yeah, the poor little boy.
The poor little boy. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I can think of off the top of my head right now.
Gremlins.
Oh yeah, Gremlins.
You like Gremlins?
I do like Gremlins.
I like Jack Frost. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I like that one too. I was just thinking about that, but I was like, but I wouldn't be like, oh, I have to watch that this year.
You know which one I do want to watch this year because I haven't seen it in a long time? P2. You're familiar with P2?
Mm-mm.
It's this girl, she gets stuck in the parking garage. Well, she gets trapped in a parking garage with like one of her creepy coworkers.
Oh. Yeah. So it's newer?
It's 90s, I want to say. Oh. Or early 2000s, maybe.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, let's watch it.
Okay. We have a lot of Christmas stuff to get to.
Yeah.
We should go.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Okay, bye. Just kidding. Don't go. We have to do our finishing stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's wrap
it up. Okay. Stay out of the Bad Boys and Girls book and donate to the Bakersfield Burrito Project. Help us feed our hungry and unhoused neighbors here in Bakersfield. Yeah. They buy rice and beans. They give people clothes. They help any way they can. On Cash App and Venmo, Bako Burrito Project.
And follow us on Instagram at gagmewiththechainsaw. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you can.
Stuff our stockings, baby.
We haven't had a review in so long.
I don't even look because I get too scared.
After our one-star review.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should go leave us a review. And while you're there, check out our one-star review.
No.
See if you agree.
No. They're going to be like, no, you know what? Those were good points. I'm going to go back in.
No, we only want 4 stars and up. Nothing below that.
Yeah, nothing below that, please.
Because it's 3, it's like, why are you even leaving a review?
Don't bother.
If it's 1 or 2, why are you even here? Go do something else.
Get out of here. Touch grass.
Go touch mistletoe.
Woo! Go prick yourself on some holly.
Yeah.
And call us 661-454-7499. Here's a fun idea. Save the number in your phone.
Yeah, just call us when you're drunk.
Yeah. Because you know what? Sometimes I do want to call people. And I'm like, you can't call anybody anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give us a call.
After you had a few glasses of eggnog with some rum or brandy, whiskey, whatever you like. Yeah. Give us a call.
Yeah. Kahlua, that's a Christmas drink, right?
It could be.
My brother-in-law makes homemade Kahlua, and it's really, really good. Yum. One year, we only had caramel vodka, so I was like, just use it. It's fine. And it tasted like the caramel that comes in flan. It was fucking delicious.
Ooh.
And basically, from Christmas till New Year's, I'm just half a little bit buzzed off of morning Kahlua the whole time.
Nice.
I know. It makes that last week that's kind of aimless, like, even just a little bit better.
Yeah.
So... I recommend it. Also, do that because you won't hear from us again until the new year.
It's true. Yeah. We're going to take a little break. Everybody's busy. We're busy. You're busy. Mm-hmm. Then we'll come back and do one of my favorite episodes to do, our yearly tradition of counting down our top 5 movies of 2023.
Yeah, man.
And we always do this show with our good friends at Not Your Final Girl.
Yeah. For me, number one, Holdovers. So I'm putting on number one on our list.
Man, I need to watch more movies, but right now my list is not looking that exciting.
I know, dude. I can really barely even think of some stuff.
Which, usually I'm not the person that says, like, ugh, horror sucked this year, because I watch so much stuff that I'm always find something good. But yeah, I'm going to have to do a little research.
I'm starting to feel like I watch too much because everything that I watch now, I'm like, this is what's going to happen in my head. And then like, that's what happens. And I'm like, so boring.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I got a few that I really liked. So
I got to go.
I'm going to find a few more.
Yeah. I got to go into my letterboxed and sort by date.
That's what you got to do.
Do some remembering. Okay. Well, did we cover that thing at the top that we said, let's get back to that later?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
About how it's not like a normal slasher.
Okay. I couldn't remember if that was it. I think that was, I was like, was that it? I think it was. Okay. Well.
Check.
We did it. All right. Finishing strong for the year. Be good out there.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up. Santa's watching.
Mm-hmm.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
He knows when you're looking at Penthouse.
He sure does. He doesn't like it. Let's put it down. But now I feel like Santa, it's rude to discourage like physical media, you should encourage people like buying magazines.
Mm, that's true.
Right? So Santa's got to have a little turnaround on that one. You can't have it both ways, Santa. Mm. Either you're with us or you're against us.
Yeah.
Okay. Merry Christmas, Cor.
Merry Christmas, Sarah.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And we'll see you all next year.
Should all acquaintance be forgot
and never brought to mind? Like Zooey Deschanel.
Mind. Should all acquaintance be forgot and only.
Now I'm turning into fucking.
I don't know much, but I know why I love you.
It's my favorite Christmas song.
It's about Santa.
And that may be all I need to know. Ho, ho, ho.
I think that's how we end it.
Yep, that's it.
Thanks for joining us on Gag Me With a Chainsaw with your hosts, Corey and Sarah. Music by White Bat Audio. Find us on Twitter at Chainsaw Podcast and on Instagram at Gag Me With a Chainsaw. Until next time, unpleasant dreams.